Did you live in the center? Did you live in the square?
Our house was about half a block from the square, but our business was about two doors down from the square.
So what happened to you?
The tornado went right over top of our business and completely destroyed the building. And then went down the street and just missed my house. Went the church that they've shown on the news was right across the street from my house. So instead of going left and hitting my house, it went right into the church instead.
It had a very peculiar pattern, as I'm beginning to understand.
It did. It kind of, you can see where, I mean, you can definitely see where it went, but it seemed to lift and then drop, and then it would lift and then drop and then run and then lift again. It was just really, really unusual.
Now, there was 15 minutes warning. Did you get a warning?
No, I had no warning at all. I was still closing the restaurant, so, of course, I didn't have the radio on or, you know, TV or anything on, and I was at the front of the restaurant in the dining room, just, you know, counting my cash, my daily cash flow, and just out of the corner of my eye, like, I could see that it was raining, and then I could see, that, like, I could hear it kind of getting windy, and I saw, out of the corner of my eye, I saw some flying debris, something dark kind of flew by, so I looked, and you could see the hail. It was just, like, huge, bigger than golf balls, and then I could hear the noise, like it just kind of started getting louder, and just instinct took over, and I just ran. I ran to the kitchen and ran to the basement, and on my way, because I know my daughter was at home, and on my way to the basement, I called her and told her to get to the basement as well. You know, that we've had lots of storms, lots of thunderstorms, you know, kind of warnings before, but we've never really taken them serious. This time, there was just something, it was just different.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was, just something different about it. And I just headed right to the basement of the restaurant. And I got down between some freezers. I figured, you know, if the building was going to come down on top of me, at least I would have some kind of a chance between two great big freezers full of food. So, but, you know, while I was down there, I'm thinking, okay, if I get stuck down here, somebody's got to know I'm here, right? Because nobody knew. My husband was at the YMCA. We run the cafe there, and he was there working. My daughter was at home, and I thought, you know, I want somebody to know where I am.
Yep.
So I was trying to text my husband and, you know, tell him that I was in the basement of the restaurant just in case, because I could hear the building, you know, coming down on top of me. You could hear it just crushing and bricks falling and wood hitting each other, and it was just, you know, just a lot of noise, and the sound of the tornado itself, to me, sounded like a jet engine, like that really loud noise that a jet engine makes, and that's what it sounded like to me.
So you were underneath the tornado?
Yeah.
It hit your building?
Yeah.
And did it only go to the top floor?
No, it hit, I think, all the floors, all of that's really left of our building. Was the ceiling of the restaurant and the walls. And the front facade, the brick facade of the building itself, is all that's standing. It's been in a lot of newspapers and stuff because it was just funny how the rest of the building fell down, and then you've got just the brick front of the building standing there.
Is that brown colorish brick?
Yeah, yes.
I've seen that. Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah.
That's a classic shot. So what did you do after all the crashing and smashing happened?
Well, I heard it quiet down, and of course, my first thought was my daughter, because she was at home, which is, you know, half a block from our house. So I came upstairs kind of tentatively, and, you know, I saw that the basement door was still there. So I peeked out, and my kitchen looked normal. And then, but when I went through the dining room doors out into the dining room to the front of the restaurant, of course, the windows had all blown in, and everything on the waitress station was gone. There was glass and debris and pieces of branches and everything laying all over the floor. So I didn't really worry about any. I just kind of ran, and I ran right out the front window. And as I kind of turned the corner and saw the burger bar, and it was down, and I looked up to see if my house was still there, and I couldn't see it because there was so much debris and trees and, you know, pieces of stuff in the trees that were remaining, hanging off buildings. So I just kind of started running towards my house, like just hopping over everything that was laying around.
Was the tornado still going?
It had passed through that by this time, and it was I don't know where it was. Like, it was probably maybe a minute after I heard it had quieted down. So it was already, I mean, it was still raining when I came out. And when I ran out of the front of the building, there was still debris falling from the sky onto the street. But I was just, you know, I just ran home to see if my house was still there, first of all, and see if my daughter was, you know, hurt or alive, or, you know, you just, you don't know. We didn't, it was just so shocking to run out to see everything destroyed. I mean, you just, 1 minute everything is there, and then 20 seconds later, there's nothing. You know, it's just nothing.
All that, mostly trees were downtown in the center core?
Yeah, they were, there. I think there was one or two, maybe three left, but the rest of them had just been snapped right off, and they were everywhere, you know, down the side streets. There was cars turned the wrong way. There was, you know, rubble, bricks, and parts of building laying in the streets, you know, steel beams, I-beams that had been twisted into pretzels.
Oh, my God.
Right in the middle, like sitting right in the middle of the street. Power lines down, car alarms going off. It really looked like a bomb had exploded. You know,
and you were running towards your house just after all this and seeing debris in the air.
Yeah, there was still debris flying, yeah.
So what happened then?
Once I got over a hump over by the credit union where the bank is, I could see the roof of my house, and I knew that it was still standing there. And so I started, I mean, I have to understand, I was a little hysterical. Mm. So I was screaming my daughter's name because I, you know, I know she was scared, and she was standing at the basement window, and later I found out that as she was running down the basement stairs, a piece of 2x4 had flown through the window and just missed hitting her. So she was, you know, screaming for me to get her out because she didn't know that the house was still standing. So I, you know, ran in the house and I got her, and then we left the house because I didn't know if the house was, you know, stable, or you just want to be outside. I didn't want to be in any building because we just didn't know the condition. And, you know, we saw the church across the street and with a great big huge hole in the center of it. So we ended up running back to the restaurant. Because I had to get my purse because that's all I could think about was getting my purse because it had everything in it. But then as I came back out of the restaurant, the fire department was already there, and they were evacuating the whole downtown because there was gas leaks all over the place.
Right.
You know, we started running down Kingston Street, which is also Highway 8, and then my husband, who was terrified, he didn't know if I was alive or, you know, all these things go through your head. And I saw him driving up the street, and he ran through the blockade where the fire department had already set up a blockade. And I just screamed at him, and, you know, there was a lot of hugging and, oh, my God, thank God you're alive, and, you know, crying. And it took us a long time just to get out of that area, probably about 45 minutes, just to go somewhere where we could get out of the car, you know, and look at each other and hug each other. And
why so long? Why 45 minutes? Were you in a vehicle driving 45 minutes?
Yes, because there were so many trees down.
Oh, my God.
You know, every time you'd go try and drive down a street, uh-huh. Well, then you'd have to turn around and find another way because there was trees and power lines and hydropoles.
Right.
Cars. It was really difficult to get out. It really was like a war zone. You just, you know, because there was just debris everywhere. Everywhere you looked, on top of houses and trees down on top of cars. And
I'm just amazed that only one person died.
I know.
I can't
believe
this.
You know, not to minimize that man's death. I mean, you know, we all just prayed for that family, and we felt so horrible for the family. But really, it is a miracle that only one person died during this whole thing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
It is. It really is. Apparently, there was 37 injuries, some of them serious, but no more deaths after that, which is a miracle to me. You know,
so this is a Sunday afternoon when it went through at 4 o'clock. And so you were in your dining room. It's maybe a good thing that it was Sunday and hardly, you know, not many businesses were open.
Well, it just seems odd because the farmer's market is usually in the square at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it had been such a funny day, you know, raining and off and off, you know, raining and windy and stuff, that they had closed up at 3 o'clock and they were gone. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, our restaurant was full. We had 90 people plus my staff in our restaurant. Patty O'Neill's, which is also, it's a restaurant on the square, they were relatively empty as well. There was a few cars and stuff just driving around the square, but the downtown core was fairly empty at that time.
So was your house in the downtown area that was cordoned off?
We're right on Highway 21. So at first we were in the red zone first couple of days, so we didn't have access.
Where did you go?
We stayed with friends and family. Luckily, my husband's sister, she lives here in town, and we stayed with them. St. Vincent de Paul actually really helped us out a lot.
I've heard a lot about them helping, but when I talk to government and the directors of the committee for the funds that the government is handing out, they never mention it.
I think they're a very quiet group. They don't, you know, they kind of just go in and do what needs to be done. You know, they just do it. They're doers, and I know that about a week ago, they had to unload two large tractor trailers of clothing, bedding, mattresses, all that kind of things that people need, because a lot of people were homeless and they were being set up in apartments. And when you go into these empty apartments, you don't have anything. You don't have a bed. You don't have clothes. You have nothing. And that's what they set up. They had beds for them. They had sheets and pillows and clothes and pots and pans. And that's what they did.
Where did they find these open apartments even?
Oh, there's several apartment buildings here in town. People have apartments in their homes and that were open to families.
Okay, so how did you find out to get a hold of St. Vincent de Paul and not Salvation
Army?
They
got a hold of us. Okay. We happened to be standing out for a couple of hours. We stood across the street from our house the night of the tornado, because I needed to get in. I had two cats that I was really worried about because our windows were smashed in. They're not outside cats, and I was really worried about them getting out. So I was kind of waiting to get word to see if we would be able to go, and just for a couple of minutes, you know, just to make sure my cats were okay. So we were literally sitting on the curb waiting, and Mary from St. Vincent de Paul came up on her bike and, you know, whatever you guys need, just here's my cell phone number, give me a call. She took my cell phone number, and within, you know, that week, there was a couple of meals that, you know, whatever we needed. We were very lucky that we had family to stay with. We really didn't need a lot. You know, they were just there, and we knew they were there. If we needed anything, like, you know, if we didn't have family in town, we could have been in one of those apartments, you know, with no bed, no pillows, nothing, you know, you have nothing.
So they're amazing. When I first spoke to Mary, I was amazed. And when I look for stories, because my show is called The Other Side of the News, I go looking for news from the streets, because that's where the honest story comes. I did speak Whisper. Dr. Scasbury called me.
Yes.
When he was first put in the director's chair of whatever, the committee for the funds for the rebuilding of businesses. And he did not mention St. Vincent's. He really promoted Red Cross and really promoted Salvation Army, saying all kinds of food. But that was going for the workers that cleared out stuff like firemen and police and helpers. And I tried a couple of times to ask him about St. Vincent's, as if, you know, did he not know? Did he forget? St. Vincent's is not being noted when it comes to a press release or when it comes to anything coming from government or your committee. And he just didn't know.
I think because they're a quiet helper. They came in and they may not have supplied monetarily, but they fed people, they clothed people, you know, they gave people beds, pillows, like those immediate need things that are needed. One of my neighbors who has been displaced, and she's living in one of these apartments, she got out with, a couple of pairs of shorts and a shirt. That's all she had. And I said to her, I said, you need to go over to St. Vincent de Paul. They'll set you up with everything that you need for nothing. It's, you know, go over there and they'll deliver it to wherever you're living, and they will deliver it. But they're a quiet group. They don't have a lot of fanfare. They're not huge. They're all volunteers, the ladies from the Catholic Women's League. And that's what they do. They take care of people in their hour of need, and that's what they do.
They're wonderful, wonderful
group. They are fantastic.
So what happened to you now? You're in this, you're in your friends waiting. You're still homeless at this point, right?
No, we got back into our house in about a week. We were lucky that we were able to go and get our toothbrush and, you know, our needs that we needed. My dad actually borrowed two generators from friends of theirs, well, the friends actually donated the generators. So we were able to hook up our freezer and our fridge almost right away, so we didn't lose any food. So we lived mainly at my sister-in-law. We lived with them. We didn't have spend a lot of time there because we were busy trying to figure out what we were going to do next. And about 5 days, I think, we got back into our house, but we still didn't have hydro, so we lived off the generators for a couple of more days, but then our hydro was hooked back up. But it's taken 3 weeks. We've had no work done on our house yet because there's just so many claims, of course. So we had about $50,000 damage to our house, and I believe they're starting next week to. We have no windows. They boarded up our windows, and our backyard was completely destroyed. So quite a bit of work to do, but they're going to be getting at it next week. So, but
right.
We lost our business completely. We've had absolutely no access to the building at all, so we've lost everything.
So you have no income?
We do cater out of the Maitland Golf Course, so we still have our functions that... we had booked for here. The winter season will be starting up at the YMCA. We run the cafe there as well. So we will have a little bit, but unfortunately, my staff, they are all jobless. Mm-hmm. I guess the same as everybody else that had businesses in town, their staff, they're jobless now. So I have encouraged them to go and apply for unemployment because they don't have a job. I'm just waiting for the proper forms to come in from the government. We're hoping if everything goes our way, we will have our a restaurant back on the square up and running in about 4 or 5 months.
Okay. So how easy or hard was it for you to get action on your house, on your business?
It hasn't been. Our adjuster for our business was at our house on the Tuesday after the tornado, and he did give us a little bit of insurance because I still had to pay my staff for what they had worked to, and we still had, hydro bill and phone bills and stuff like that to pay from the restaurant up until the 21st of August. So it's just a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of time-consuming paperwork that you have to get a hold of leasing companies, and you have to get all this paperwork in. Plus, we had to write an extended list of everything that we lost in the restaurant. Well, it took five of us, and I kept printing it off, and we would look at our list, and next day somebody would add something else because this stuff is there every day. You forget what you have. So it took us probably about a week and a half just to gather the list up to give to the insurance company. So we're ready now. We're ready to give all of our stuff to the insurance company to see what we're covered, how we're covered, and hopefully we'll be able to have enough money to reopen our restaurant in a couple of months.
Well, isn't that what that Disaster Relief Board is for, to help people up to 90%?
There's a lot of rumors flying we heard yesterday that $2.5 million had already been appropriated for other things. So, honestly, I will be shocked if my husband and I see anything. I will truly be shocked. So that's just my opinion.
Sure.
I they'll probably use it to. I don't know.
Was your building a designated heritage building?
Yes.
Because that's one of the things that Jasper really emphasized a lot, that they had mm-hmm. specialists in the town, special architects, so they could discuss about returning the buildings to look like they were before. So if you have a heritage building, then they should be helping you with that.
Well, we only lease the space, so we have no rights.
Right.
Like, we have no control at all.
Okay.
And we already spoke to the owner. But he said that that the Heritage Committee had already gotten involved,
mm-hmm.
And because it used to be, that building used to be the old Opera House.
Oh.
And he said that it'll probably take up to about a year for him to rebuild, because it's going to cost, for what they want him to do, it's going to cost him a lot of money.
Right. And
so
we have
no chance of ever getting back in that space at all.
You don't think you'll get in that space, so you're looking for another space now to
yes.
do business.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing that occurred to me, that money has to be paid to these people that come in, the specialists and all the people that came and cleared up stuff.
Exactly. All the special structural engineers and environmentalists and health and safety people. Like, yeah, I don't believe they're coming here for free.
No, I don't think so either. So I just wonder, I very much wonder, how much money has already been spent getting other people from out of town? Of course, they've got to get accredited people in
right.
to assess. But one local handyman, let's say, who is qualified to do a lot of different jobs and has been doing a lot of different repair jobs, didn't have his contractor's license or didn't have a license, and they just ignored him. And there's help sitting right there.
I know.
Capable of doing something locally and mm-hmm. wasn't picked.
Yeah.
And Jasper was telling me there's going to be two booms. One will be one for cleaning out and clearing out. Locals will be hired to do the clearing out, and locals will be hired for the building. And I hope that that's true, mm-hmm. because at least people can get some jobs back from not having any, you know, employment income.
Well, that's just it. Like, as I said, I really feel that we as a restaurant ourselves, my husband and I, we're 100% only relying on ourselves.
Good.
I don't think, because we did not own a building, we leased a space, I really don't see how that will benefit us at all, even though we lost our source of income, our whole business, you know, and everything in it. Like, we had to walk away before we were able to take some of our equipment with us when mm-hmm. we moved. But now, like, we'll never, ever get it back.
Are you ever going to get compensation for what you lost?
Well, we're hoping we'll get equal value.
From your personal insurance company?
Right.
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 So it doesn't matter what the committee that is finally set up says or does?
No.
To you.
You have to go and apply, but that does not mean that any funds are going to be appropriated to you.
Right. And now I hear there's a deadline of October. I think it is the 28th, and that must be because of the election.
Probably.
I'm trying to fundraise in Hamilton. They barely know what's going on here in Hamilton. So
I know.
We have Country Music Fest and all kinds of activities happening this Saturday. So I travel by wheelchair, so I'm going to be down there with a sign.
Yeah.
And a can, you know, feeling stupid, but trying to get some funds drummed up for St. Vincent's, because what they were asking for was gift cards, because there's a lot of people, as you say, they have nothing but the clothes on their back.
Well, that's just it. I mean, they left their homes and there was nothing left, and they couldn't go back in because structurally they were not able to go back in.
Yeah.
You know, they just wanted people with accredited people to come in and help, you know, they were so worried about people, you know, average Joes getting hurt.
Yeah.
We had a young gentleman here that set up a whole group of people. He had 150 people ready to go in and help with cleanup, and he had to go and get permits, and, you know, it was a huge hassle, and all they wanted to do was help.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the problem.
All they wanted to do was help.
There's a reason for it, because of the gas lines and because of other things, like cell phones mm-hmm. can set off a fire.
Oh, definitely.
With a gas line, and people might not think about that while they're busy texting away while the gas is blowing, or, you know.
Exactly.
Right next to them. So it's understandable, but still, I would really like to see the local people get jobs out of this to rebuild their own town at some point soon.
Well, we demanded, when we did our house, we demanded our contractor.
Do you want to add to this after having lived through that F3 tornado, literally going right through above you?
I'm just really happy to be alive. I'm so, so fortunate. Since this happened, not that I was estranged from my brothers, but we all are very busy. They both own their own businesses as well, and we don't get to see each other very often. And we have been emailing each other on a regular basis, and I've come a lot closer to my brothers, and I'm very thankful for that. And there's always a reason. There's always a reason why these things happen, and there's always a silver lining no matter what. We're thankful that I'm alive and that my daughter is safe.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Other thing that upsets me is Environment Canada saying, well, we only gave a 15-minute warning. We don't give warnings sooner because, you know, people won't take it seriously.
Right.
You know, but unless you're sitting right in front of your TV looking at the Weather Channel, you're not going to hear that warning. So maybe the town should have a tornado watch person who rings a bell.
Well, actually, my dad grew up here, my dad's family, And they used to sound the air raid alarm every day at noon. They still have the air raid alarm.
No, that's what should be used for when there's any warning, because then more people will hear it.
I believe if they had sounded that air raid alarm, I mean, the damage would have been the same.
Less hurt. Less
injuries, I think.
And maybe the fellow
would have that man could have gotten down from, you know, where he was at the salt mine and would have been safe.
Sure. But then the thing I'm hoping people will get out of these conversations.
Yes.
All righty, I'm going to let you go now.
Oh, thank you so much, Maggie.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.